Raw Truth podcasts may contain explicit, sensitive, and questionable content. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual podcaster and are not based on the advice of a licensed psychologist, therapist, or other medical professional. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Women's lives follow many paths, twists and turns, and choices never planned nor expected. In life, temptation, anger, depression, and loneliness can lead a good person to make a choice that they can't take back. When facing judgment and isolation, a person can feel very alone. In this podcast, you will hear stories from women who made the choice to cheat on their spouses or partners. Hear their stories. This is Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. An anonymous and no judgment podcast created and hosted by me, Rebecca Adams. I was an unfaithful wife. You are not alone. Hello and welcome to Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. This is Rebecca. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. We are going to continue on with the story from Temperance. On part one of her story, we met her, learned a little bit about her childhood, and then when she got into public school and started meeting boys and how things changed, and then John, who kind of sounded like he was like the love of her life. She really, really cared about him, but going their own ways and her doing her own thing, and ultimately towards the end of part one, she shared how she realized that she had been raped by a man after she had taken some medication that she thought was just a simple like ibuprofen type medication. So now let's go ahead and get started with part two, which she entitled Married Too Young. It was Valentine's Day when I met Christian. This was the week after the rape and a week before John's last visit. Christian and I both went to the same youth group. I was so wrapped up in myself that I hadn't noticed him until that day. We were teamed up by our youth group leaders for a project. We clicked and spent the evening playing around and laughing. Once the evening was over, he started calling me his sweet Valentine. I really didn't take him seriously. We had just met and all the attention was on the issues going on in my life. It was a month later when, out of nowhere, there Christian was. It was a Saturday, early morning, and I was woken up by the lawnmower right next to my window. When I looked out, there was Christian looking back at me. My dad had hired him to take care of our yard a couple of weekends a month. Christian had taken the job not knowing that I lived there. He took me by surprise, and when we started dating, I took him by storm. Our first time having sex was on a wood trailer, and we both had splinters in our asses. There wasn't anything special about Christian, and he was kind and caring. He fell in love with me quickly, and I found a relationship I could hide myself in. Christian proposed at his senior prom. We both graduated high school, and by the end of the summer, he joined the Army. Prior to us getting married, while Christian was away for training, an old friend of John's and my brother's came into town. Let's call him Mark. I visited Mark a couple of times at his hotel. One day we decided it would be fun to go get a sex game. We were both drinking, me more than him. We started playing, one thing led to another, and I passed out naked on top of him. He got me off of him, into the shower, and back home. He said we didn't do anything, but I do remember his dick sliding in me before I passed out. 11 months after that Valentine's Day, Christian and I were married and moved to his first duty station. It was 2002, and we were both 19 years old. That first month was a complete mess for us. We lived on base, and we didn't have any money even for a landline phone. I got into a major car accident that totaled our car. The car accident led me to start an emotional affair with Christian's sergeant. He had seen the accident and rescued me from the car. He gave me dry clothes and helped me with the police report. We talked every day for 2 months. Our affair ended when I turned him down for sex prior to his deployment. It was around this same time Christian and I tried to fit in with the older couples from his unit. These couples took advantage of us to babysit while they went out clubbing. When they got back from the clubs, we would all party until the next day. We smoke a lot of pot, got drunk, and would even have group sex. It was at one of these events where I had my second kiss with a woman, and I loved it. These weekends ended as soon as I found out I was pregnant. The loss and destruction afterwards. We were 4 months into our marriage when I found out I was pregnant. Christian was back home and we were both very happy. We stopped partying and stayed home planning out our future. This was short-lived when my 14th week I lost the baby. I spiraled once again, but this time into a black depression. I had lost a whole month worth of time. Christian was away for training during that month. I had to heal with the loss and deal with it myself, as I had no close friends or family around. When he got back, I started accusing him of abandoning me and causing the miscarriage. I began distancing myself from him and took to drinking. Christian soon moved out. I continued to spiral further. I started smoking weed more often, going out to an 18 and older club every night, and going home with a random guy almost nightly. In total, I believe I slept with 20 or more guys during our brief separation. At one point, I was so desperate for rent money that I slept with a soldier the night before he was deployed for $500. Another night, I went back to the barracks with another soldier, the same barracks my husband was living in. The guy gave me some laced weed, which caused me to hallucinate and freak out. I felt certain that he and his roommate wanted to gang rape me. They tried keeping me from leaving the room, but I finally convinced them to let me out. I was so frightened, I ran right to my husband's room and fell asleep crying in his arms. Then there was Mike. I had met Mike through Christian. They both worked at the 18 and older club on the weekends. Mike was not just a one-night stand at all like the other guys. He turned out to be a daily secret fuck. In my desperate state to feel normal, I tried to get Mike to take me out, but he just wouldn't. So he came over every other day for a lunchtime fuck. Just before the holidays, Christian moved back in with me, but I was still fucking Mike. I don't really think Christian knew about Mike, and Mike didn't know about Christian. Christian and I told everyone at the bar that we were step-siblings. Then one night, I came home from a friend's to find Mike sitting on my couch while Christian was in the kitchen. Seems Mike wanted to see me as he got into an argument with his roommate. Uncomfortably, I told him it was too late and to go home. Christian and I didn't talk about why Mike was there, but it was obvious that Christian understood that Mike was there to fuck me. This all came to a head one day after Mike left, that his very pregnant wife showed up at my front door to confront me. I had no idea he was married, just as he had no idea I was married. But there she was, standing in my doorway, at least 8 months pregnant. I broke it off with Mike by text that same day, but the humiliation wasn't over. That weekend, Christian and I went to an employee party at the bar. There was Mike and his wife. Within an hour of being there, everyone knew what happened between Mike and I. I left the bar with a friend and never went back. Christian and I decided to give our marriage another try, and I stopped fucking around with other people. Deployment number one. By our first anniversary and the first month of 2003, Christian received his deployment orders. He was due to leave in March, but by the 1st of February, he had our apartment packed up, and he sent me to live with my brother 8 hours away. I wasn't there the day he left for his deployment. The first few months were hard without Christian, but I got into a rhythm with my brother and his growing family. My brother lived close to John, and so John started stopping by regularly. I hadn't seen John since he left his father's. Even though I was still angry with him, I still accepted his invitation for dinner. At the dinner, I told him about Christian, and he told me about his girlfriend. I told him I still had feelings for him, and he informed me that he didn't feel the same way for me. We left dinner with just a hug and a mention about seeing each other again soon. John came by my brother's often, and then he brought over his girlfriend. I was so uncomfortable, I hid in my room every time they came over. On one very unfortunate day, I got stuck sitting next to John at our church's Easter Sunday service and his now fiancé on the other side of him. It was difficult sitting next to him, smelling his cologne, and knowing we could easily touch. After the service, I wished them the best and never saw them again. I got through the year without cheating on Christian. I never felt the need to find another guy. I focused my attention on our finances, my schoolwork, and my family. He wrote every month or so and only called once in a while. By the beginning of 2004 and our second anniversary, I had moved back to the base to prepare for his return. I met my neighbors, a young couple, and their friend. Prior to Christian's return, my neighbors and I, with their friends, did everything together. Their friend, Shane, was quiet and not very attractive. He was tall, skinny, bald, and young. He wore BCUs, or as we called them, birth control glasses. Nonetheless, we all had fun together. It was a few weeks before Christian returned that I received a call from him. He asked for a divorce. After begging him to give us another try, he reluctantly agreed. His homecoming ceremony was anything but exciting. He was a completely different person, no longer the sweet, funny, caring guy I had met back in 2001. It didn't take long for our home to become an explosion of destruction. Trouble at home. Christian began drinking heavily and became abusive right away. He had gotten into trouble overseas, and he almost got us both arrested. He stole hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of products from overseas, and he used me as an excuse, and he lied to the military police about it. For some stupid reason, they believed him and all the charges were dropped. I assumed that it was all a misunderstanding, that it was all fine, until the week we took a trip back home. This was our first trip to see his family since he got back, and the first time he put his hands around my neck. He had all the stolen products sent to his parents' home. When I confronted him about it, he put his hands around my neck and choked me. His drinking and temper continued almost daily. My only refuge from him was being with my friends. After a month of him being back, he had to take a trip back home for a funeral. He told me he didn't want me going with him. He packed up, took a checkbook, and left. While he was gone, he bounced checks and said he totaled the car. I had to pick him up from the bus station a week later. A week after that, he took me off the bank account and started his own divorce counseling. All this while still getting drunk, choking me, hitting me, and raping me at knife point. A new guy. One day, while Christian was at work, I borrowed a friend's car to go to Barnes & Noble. I asked everyone I knew to go with me, but in the end, it was just Shane and I. The whole time we were there, I would catch him watching me, even to the point where he was supposedly reading a book, but it was upside down. This was the very first time that he and I were alone together. A couple of days after that, my friends and I decided to get drunk and have some fun. My friend and I decided to go get some food from my house, and when I walked in, Christian was there. He started to yell at me, and I ran out of the house crying. my friend stayed behind to continue to argue with him. When I got back to her house, Shane was upstairs recovering from too much alcohol. Next thing I know, I hear him yell down, "Don't cry, Temperance. I love you and I will take care of you forever." This scared the hell out of me. My abusive marriage was almost over. I had no job, no money, no car, and now this guy I barely knew says he loves me? The end of it. The next few days, I stayed away from Shane and Christian. I was getting my courage up to call my parents and let them know that I was getting divorced and that I needed money for a bus home. When I finally did, my father told me to stay and work things out with Christian. I never told my parents about the abuse. I was ashamed. 3 days after Shane told me he loved me, Christian called me up at 3 a.m. and asked me to pick him up from where he was. I was still borrowing my friend's car, so I left and picked him up. He was completely plastered. That night, we got into the worst fight we'd ever had. He threw my cat against the wall, broke my cell phone, and slammed the keyboard from our desk next to my head, trying to strike me with it. He tackled me when I went for the landline. When I was able to get loose, he chased me around the neighborhood screaming that he was going to kill me. I locked myself up in my friend's house and called the military police. That was the last time we were ever together. Due to the spousal law in the Army, I was able to stay in the house on the base until the year was up. He was charged with domestic violence, and the military put a restraining order against him towards me. We will be back in 1 week for part 3 of Temperance Story. On Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity, I share stories of women who have been unfaithful to their spouse or partner. I give them a safe space to be able to explain what happened and why they chose the direction of infidelity. But I also feel it is just as important to understand what the betrayed husband or partner faced when he uncovered the truth. A few weeks before our child was to be born, Marie and I were getting our things ready for a little getaway in San Antonio, Texas. She left the house to do some quick errands, but she left behind her Apple Watch, and I logged into the device. I saw text messages from her ex-husband. It was a picture of him on a tractor holding a baby. The text message said, "Remember." I was really disappointed. When she arrived back home, I didn't say anything about the text message. When we left and were just a few hours away from San Antonio, I asked Marie if she had been texting with her ex-husband. She told me no, she hadn't been. To hear exclusive stories of the men's discovery of female infidelity in their relationship, have early access to regular episodes ad-free and more extras, subscribe to my Patreon by visiting my website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com. Subscription pledges start as low as only $4 a month. You have been listening to Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity. Your support of Raw Truth Podcasts is truly appreciated. When you visit the website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com, you will find the story guides to help form your story, where you can subscribe to Patreon for exclusive episodes, and to vote for the podcast to be in the Hot 50 Countdown for Podcast Magazine. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to my other podcast, Let's Ponder with Rebecca Adams, where taboo topics are discussed. To submit your female infidelity story, share feedback, or have general questions about the show, please email rebecca.rawtruth@gmail.com. On Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity, I share stories of women who have been unfaithful to their spouse or partner. I give them a safe space to be able to explain what happened and why they chose the direction of infidelity. But I also feel it is just as important to understand what the betrayed husband or partner faced when he uncovered the truth. 1 week prior to finding her date book and confronting her, I received a letter. It was very disrespectful to me. It said, "Wake up and smell the coffee. Your whore of a wife is out running around with every man that will talk to her, and you act as if nothing is going on. She is having an affair with Joe. She has been ever since you have been married and dated him the whole time she was expecting. You almost caught them the other week. His motorcycle will go up in those woods. She is most likely with him right now." To hear exclusive stories of the men's discovery of female infidelity in their relationship, have early access to regular episodes ad-free and more extras, subscribe to my Patreon by visiting my website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com. Subscription pledges start as low as only $4 a month.